It is a laudable custom on the Feast of Epiphany to announce the movable feasts, the ones that change, depending on the lunar cycle, for this coming year. Dearly beloved brethren, as we have rejoiced in the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, there is announced to you, by the mercy of God, the joyous observations of the resurrection of our Savior. On September 5th is Septuagesima Sunday. On February 22nd, Ash Wednesday, begins the most holy season of Lent. On April 8th, we will celebrate with great rejoicing the holy Easter festival of our Lord Jesus Christ. May 17th is the feast of the Ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. May 27th is the feast of Pentecost. December 2nd is the first Sunday in the Advent of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be honor and glory now and forever. Amen. This festival of Epiphany is a somewhat strange festival in that its history is somewhat mixed. It's a festival that we inherited from the Eastern Church, or as you might know them, as the Orthodox Church. We have Orthodox of Greek, of Russian, and other flavors in our community. We received this festival from them, and it was a festival of the Nativity for them. It was their Christmas. They celebrated Christmas on this day. But when we received it, we already had Christmas, celebrated on the 25th of December. And so we inherited another celebration of our Lord's birth, and thus we ended up with 12 days of Christmas, his birth celebrated at the beginning and the end. But in addition to his birth date, the Eastern Church also celebrated his baptism on this day. So it was both his birth and his baptism. And in a sense, they believe, as we somewhat do as well, that baptism is a birthday. Of course, we celebrate our baptismal birthdays. We believe that when one comes to the font and is washed with water and the word, one is born again. Born again in the Spirit. And so it is a birthday. So they combined both our Lord's nativity, when he is revealed as the Son of Mary, and also our Lord's birth at the font, there in the River Jordan, in his case, where the Father announced from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," revealing him as God incarnate. But also, depending on where you were in the world, not only did they celebrate the Lord's birth, his baptism on this day, they also celebrated the wedding at Cana. For at the wedding feast of Cana, our Lord reveals himself again. He epiphanies himself. He shows forth who he is, God in the flesh. For only God could change water into wine. When this festival was inherited by the Western Church, of which we are children, they also then added another occasion, the visit of the Magi. And the visit of the Magi, of course, was our gospel reading for this evening. It is an important reading because it teaches us that Jesus came for the Gentiles. Indeed, this feast is called by many Christmas for the Gentiles. It is also considered a festival of light, for Epiphany means, well, in our use, if you have an epiphany, the light bulb goes off, right? Something is revealed to you, something, you're inspired. And so the same for us. This festival of Epiphany, indeed the whole season, is God shining his light in his Son upon the Scriptures, upon your heart, upon this church, to reveal who God is, who he is for you, and what he has done. Indeed, his whole nature is revealed through this season of both God and man. Our reading for this evening was from Matthew chapter 2, which deals with the Magi. You will also hear about the baptism. That comes next Friday. This Sunday, we hear of the young boy, Jesus, in the temple, the only story of the young Jesus, and a very revealing one at that. And then the following Sunday, we have the wedding feast at Cana. So you won't miss any of the many different possibilities for Epiphany. They're just spread out over 2 weeks. But the visit of the Magi is very important to us. For Jesus, on Christmas evening, at his nativity, was revealed as a boy born to Jewish parents. And indeed, those who came to visit him, the shepherds, also Jews. And if it had not been for the visit of the Magi, one would start to wonder, reading the Gospels, whether Jesus truly came for the whole world. Of course, we believe this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, Jew and Gentile alike, believes in him might not die, but inherit eternal life. And so, St. Matthew wisely, through the inspiration of the Spirit, has given us this example of faithful Gentiles, even shortly after his birth coming to visit him, at least 40 days, for Jesus had been presented in the temple, and as many as 2 years, as Herod ascertained that date when he killed the infant boys of Bethlehem. So somewhere between 4 months and 2 years, these wise men came to visit him. They are also odd in that they should not have known. How would these Magi have known that the Savior of the world would come in Bethlehem? Well, they did not know that it was Bethlehem. They came following a star. A star, which is not quite the same as that clear word of God in Bethlehem of Judea. And you are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, that reading from Micah that Matthew quotes. They did not know that reading, but they did know that he would come like a star, indeed as a star. O morning star, how fair and bright. So Jesus himself, the star of heaven, a dim star at that, leads them to his very nativity, to meet him face to face. And they had been waiting faithfully. They did know of him. It is not surprising. They weren't looking for some strange Persian or Babylonian Messiah as they came from the east. No, they were looking for the true Messiah, that is Jesus himself. They had known because God, in his infinite wisdom, had sent his people into exile for their unbelief, for their idolatry. Exile into Assyria, Persia, and finally into Babylon. Babylon, where the prophet Daniel taught in the king's court, was a nobleman, even finding refuge for his people under the tyrant Nebuchadnezzar. The word of God had spread through the prophet Daniel and others into these foreign lands, and the Magi had heard and knew and had interpreted that word, what little they had, from Daniel, knowing of a star, as Daniel speaks. A star, the one would come with a bright light that would lead many to righteousness. And here he is, a star. They follow this star, guided by it, to Bethlehem, to Judea, after talking with the priests and the scribes. What this star was to them was a guide, something to show them the way, for they were a people in darkness and in the shadow of death. They needed to know how to get to Jesus, indeed how to get to the Father, how to get to heaven, all the things that come from our Lord Jesus. And this star revealed it. It was a light, showed them the way, indeed came to rest over the place where Jesus was, and they found the child there. This is what light does. It reveals. Epiphany is a festival of light, revealing who God is in Jesus. And any revelation, anytime a light bulb goes off, one comes to knowledge. Excuse me. One comes to truth. One comes to know and to believe. So it is the same for you. You have a great star to guide you from wickedness, from death, from despair, from sorrow, from all the darkness of this world, to guide you to the only Savior, the only one who can deliver you, indeed the only one who is light himself, light in the flesh, that is Jesus. Indeed, there is only one light. Some would say that there are many lights, there are many paths to enlightenment. You've heard this from the Eastern philosophies. But from the perspective of the Scripture, there is only one way, there's only one truth, there's only one light and life, and that is Jesus. That doesn't stop our world from, even Christians, from saying that there are many traditions, there are many ways to know God, that even non-Christian faiths can have truth. And this is patently false. Think of these magi. Had they operated with such a philosophy, believing that their Babylonian idols, their ancestor worship, their sorcery, this is what magis are, they're sorcerers, their magic, would get them to heaven. If they had just stayed in their foreign land of Babylon or Persia or wherever, just stayed thinking, oh yes, we know of the star, we know where it leads, that is to the Messiah, to the truth, but we have our truth. We can stay here. We can stay in this foreign land, in this shadow, this darkness, and we'll still be saved. That is the way of this world. We would like to believe that there is many ways to be saved from death, from sin, from that which torments us. But Jesus tells us otherwise. There is but one way, one truth, one life. There is but one Father and Son and Holy Spirit, unity of God. And the problem becomes that if one doesn't follow the true light, if one does not pick out the star, is not led by this star to where you ought to go, you're not taken from the darkness. You're not taken from sorrow and from despair and gloom. You're left precisely where you might be comfortable, but not where you need to be. For you need to be led. Led as pilgrims through wilderness into promised land. Led by a light along a dark and dreary path. And where one follows that light, where one goes from darkness to life, from death to light, one finds joy, comfort, solace there in the place where the child laid, where the star rested above them. Going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures. They offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. But that isn't the most curious thing that they did. Every time we read this in English, I think the lector, whether it's a pastor or elder, would stumble upon these words. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. If you stop to think about what Matthew is saying, why would you say it in such a way? Rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. It's a bit redundant, right? Isn't rejoicing joy? And it's a somewhat clumsy attempt to translate the Greek. Greek likes to do this. Take a noun or an adjective, turn it into a verb, and put the two together in order to demonstrate how greatly they were rejoicing. We would just say they rejoiced greatly or they rejoiced a lot. But with Greek, there's another level above that. Not only did they rejoice greatly, but they did it with great joy, or exceedingly with great joy. And ah, that we would do the same. that we would simply follow the star, knowing that small bit of knowledge, that knowledge that says the Messiah will come or has come. Follow the star, he will lead you to righteousness. To follow just that star, to say that is our hope, that is our trust. In that star and where he leads, we have life. And to go and to receive that with great joy, to know that our joy is in those things. What is the light for us but Christ himself? He was the star, and the Apostle John tells us in Revelation that heaven needs no light, for the Son who sits upon the throne lights the heavens. He is the sun. Play on words, both sun, like as in sun, moon, and stars, and the Son of God. The radiance of his face that shines upon the whole host of heaven lights the whole heavens. There is no darkness, there is no sorrow, there is no death, no dreary days, or even moderately warm days like today. But always sunny, always joyous, always singing. For us, that path is known. The star has made himself known, and he continues to make himself known in his word. For his holy Bible is the star. It is the light. It is the sun that guides the way to heaven, that shows you who Jesus is, what he has done for you. And in that holy book, we find the truth. We find the one and only truth, the only way, the only light. That is our Savior. So in Epiphany, we learn to do these things, just as the Magi learned. We learn to find our Savior, where he is. We learn how to follow him. We learn to come to him frequently, to learn from him, to know him. But most importantly, to worship him only. Offering him the gifts that only a king, a prophet, a priest would deserve. And when we do this, when we find our Savior where he has promised to be, whether it be in font or in word preached or at the altar or the holy word of absolution, God has promised that we will be like those Magi and rejoice exceedingly with great joy. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.